mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 24. Iroh studied the two asleep in the sunlight. Young man holding a blanket-wrapped young lady, and had to smile. Even in the darkest hour of Ba Sing Se, hope could flower. "Good morning, my Mean." The boy's head shot up first, no surprise, but Mean barely spent a second gaping at him before ducking back down to listen to Mai's breathing. "Oh," Mai breathed, dropping to one knee beside them to check her pulse and feel a feverish forehead. "Oh, my. Never would he have asked this of you." "I know," Mai whispered hoarsely, rings under her eyes as she looked at him. "That's why I did it." She blinked. "General, you shouldn't be here."
"I may not have my nephew's skill at sneaking, but I was not seen,"
Iroh assured her, smiling gently.
"Rest now. The worst is over. You will feel chilled for some days and fragile. But your will was strong and your need was great. It was enough."
Mai blinked again, eyes suddenly wide.
"You... How else could I have broken the siege of Ba Sing Se? Azulon wished it burned if it would not surrender."
Iroh regarded Mean soberly.
"I know one does not survive the crisis alone. We are in your debt, so I am pleased to be able to tell you your family is well, though arranging for Jinhai to greet the sun will require some degree of care. Are you well?"
Mean stammered.
"I'm sorry?"
"A good start," Iroh said dryly.
"Fortunately, I have some experience with desperate young men."
He raised a mildly scolding finger.
"Do not do it again."
"No, sir," Mean swallowed.
"You're General Iroh?"
"Retired," Iroh said simply.
"I was a different man then. I hope I am a better one now."
He handed the young man a scrap of paper.
"Memorize those. Destroy it, and scatter the ashes. One of those names should be able to help you contact your family, whatever you decide."
He regarded Mai.
"As for you, young lady, your calligraphy is still to court standards."
"My parents would accept nothing less," she said evenly.
"Ah, poor girl. At least his nephew had the leisure to hit things once in a while." "Then you will need new brushes if you remain here,"
Iroh nodded.
"Perhaps you might ask Mean for advice on certain shops. Or, if not, I am certain Agent Quan would know."
He shrugged.
"Or, of course, Azula might simply order some brought to the palace."
Mai nodded slowly.
"I understand."
"I don't," Mean said warily. Mai smiled slightly.
"You're innocent. It's kind of cute."
She reached up to flick the tip of his braid.
"The general just identified 3 likely power centers, if I decide to pick one to ally with."
"Oh, right," Mean nodded. Frowned.
"Huh?" "We'll talk politics later,"
Mai promised, glanced at Iroh again.
"I can't abandon Ty Lee, and she's..."
"She may not be so loyal to Azula as you believe,"
Iroh said mildly.
"Let us say you are not the only one with irregularities in your genealogy."
Mai lifted a black brow, obviously poised to ask more.
"Message for Mushi," a sing-song voice called, knocked briefly at the apartment door. Then a dusty runner, one of many messengers in Ba Sing Se, pattered inside, still panting a bit from the stairs.
"There a Mushi in here? I'd better have gotten the right address."
"Well, hello, sweetie." Steel gleamed between Mai's fingers.
"You're looking for him."
The runner gulped and turned toward Iroh with a weak grin.
Your nephew didn't have time to write it down, so he said the bison's heading for the palace.
Iroh felt the world drop out from under him.
No, not so soon. We're not ready.
Oh, and he's going to do something stupidly heroic.
The runner nodded.
Iroh clapped a hand to his forehead in disbelief.
No, Mai said, voice edged with dread. He wouldn't.
I kind of think he would, Min gulped.
Iroh sighed and smiled at the runner, who paled and started backing up.
Forgive me for the unpleasantness, Iroh said politely, snagging the man by the collar before he could escape. But I fear I will need a distraction.
There's got to be some way to distract her.
Determined, Sokka pitched Boomerang in what should look like a near miss. Giggling, Ty Lee dodged it and cartwheeled at him again as he dodged her, leaping and poking and jumping again as Boomerang hit a pillar, then the wall, then another pillar, and whistled through the air straight back. Ty Lee swirled around it as it sang through, flirting with the razor edge like a kid dashing into summer surf.
It's like we're dancing together.
Surreal, Sokka decided, grabbing Boomerang and trying not to listen too hard to the crunches as Toph swatted Dai Li like a polar bear dog in the middle of a swarm of weevil rats. She was better than any of them, but he had a bad feeling she might not be better than all of them.
I'm just a guy with a boomerang, he thought desperately. I didn't ask for crazy spirit magic and saving the world and bouncy, sort of evil, crazy girls.
Fighting Ty Lee was like fighting a nightmare. Not the silly ones he told Katara about, where penguins sang and food ate people. The frustrating, serious ones, where he was just trying to get Aang to slow down and listen. Toph backed into him. Deliberately, given her listening feet.
Don't start seeing dancing mushrooms on me, Snoozles.
Hey, the cactus juice wasn't my fault, Sokka protested.
Kind of.
Were those Dai Li snickering?
Oh, that's just not fair. I'm from the South Pole. It was a plant. Plants have water in them.
Although the cactus juice was water, the way Ty Lee's cute little fists were punches, and a smart man stayed away from both of them, cause here she came again. And somewhere in the middle of the punching and dodging and rocks sailing around like crazy avalanches, there was a quieter rumble of stone and a cleared throat.
I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but given the situation with the generals and Princess Azula, I have to get you to safety.
What? The Earth King yelped. Put me down! Bosco! Grr, yipe!
Stone flipped over, taking Bear, King, and one apologetic Dai Li with it.
Which just leaves a dozen or so, and Ty Lee,
Sokka thought, skittering back to bounce off of a pillar a few seconds before Ty Lee's jabbing fingers could intersect his shoulders.
So much for animal instinct. Trade you?
Sure. Toph gritted out. I'll take Bouncy, and you can stop rocks with your head.
Point. Oh, man. This was so not good.
Where the heck was Aang? Tumbling out through wind-blasted curtains into the palace courtyard, Katara reached towards the hole in the earth. Aang had opened up with a strike of his staff.
Water!
She pulled up a wave, smashing it down on Azula. Blue fire erupted. Steam had barely cleared before whirling disks of azure flame sliced through, aiming for her heart. Go ahead and grin, Katara thought defiantly, sliding fire aside with walls of ice, as Aang hopped, air-blasted and earth-trapped various Dai Li. We're in the open now. We can beat you. Weird.
Fighting Azula was terrifying, but she felt so much better. For weeks, she'd behaved in Ba Sing Se, hemmed in by rules and smiles, like a brook channeled meek and mild into the fields outside the inner wall. Now she was riding the strength of the waves, of the ocean itself, and no one was going to tell her Azula wasn't evil. She might get hurt. She might die, but she was fighting for her family and herself. Azula was going down. Oh, and while she was at it, she just might save Ba Sing Se too. And then she and Aang could sit on General Hao and lock Zuko up somewhere safe and talk Iroh onto their side. Who said Sokka was the only one who could make plans? Katara whipped a flying rock glove into mud and slung the whole mess back towards Azula, who ducked, but not quite enough. Mud splattered over the pristine green uniform, and gold eyes narrowed in fury. Katara stuck her tongue out and just missed biting it as Azula kicked and punched a fiery blizzard of blasts her way. This isn't going to be easy. But it looked like she'd finally gotten the Fire Princess mad. And, like Master Paku told her, anger was a weapon in your opponent's hand, not yours. A waterbender raged, but it was the ocean's rage, cold and cruel and merciless, dragging the foe down. Not the quick, hot flares she'd seen from Zuko, there and gone like a cascade of fireworks. Like fire. Uh-oh. Maybe this wasn't a good idea. Azula leapt and whirled, heel striking earth to blast a wave of fire Katara's way, and there was no more time to think. If these were regular army earthbenders, or even the palace guard, Toph was sure she would have flattened them all minutes ago. As it was, Dai Li are good. Really, really good. The rock gloves, the earth shoes, they blended into stone, making the wearers feel more like ants moving across the earth than people. Which didn't stop her. Toph could feel ants moving. But trying to concentrate on tremors her bending told her should be one size while her head told her they were a lot bigger? Ugh. It was easier to read the earth they were bending instead. Which meant she was reacting, not flattening them first. She hated that. Worse, Sokka was getting tired. She could feel it in his breath, in how heavy his steps were getting. And if Ty Lee put him out, well, that was it. She'd have to cut her losses, drag Snoozles out on moving earth with her, and hope they could make it to Appa. Gloves zipped at her like flutter hornets. Toph slammed up a wall, crooking her fingers in to yank that rock deeper into her own stone. Chi fighting Chi. Bending against bending. And she was better than them. She was the best, but there were too many. Guys, I know I like to take care of myself, but I could really, really use some help right now. Running footsteps. Familiar ones. No way! Oh yeah. Toph grinned like a fiend. Fingers, fists, and feet a symphony of shattered rock gloves and pillars and sailing shields of stone. She couldn't see the flames, but she felt the blast of heat and heard the fiery roar and shouts of dismay from agents swept aside by something that flexed and crackled. You! Sokka yelped. No, don't! Toph felt Sokka throw, stamped up a shielding wall, feeling Boomerang clatter off the stone. Ty Lee giggled. She's in the air. I can't see her. Down! Toph dropped. Felt Zuko's hand push her farther down and away. Heard Ty Lee's yelp, Zuko's grunt. Fire went out. But Ty Lee was on the ground. Everyone was on the ground. And without earth shoes shielding muscle twitches and breathing from the rocks, she knew where they were. Stomp and thrust her arms up, pillars of earth pinning every enemy to the ceiling. Cup her fingers and slash. Curving up and down, growing pillars and ceiling together like stalactites and stalagmites. Toph dusted her hands off and grinned. Nobody was getting out of that on their own. Toph? Sokka said, warily, picking up Boomerang. You missed a bad guy.
No, I didn't. Toph stalked over to where Zuko was swearing under his breath and planted her fists on her hips.
That was so dumb.
No. Zuko gritted his teeth, obviously biting back even worse language. Tactical sacrifice. You're a master bender. And if you can't bend, you can't see.
He took a deep breath, braced himself, and stood up.
What? Sokka sputtered.
Wow. Tylee's voice held rueful admiration. You didn't forget a thing.
Trust me, Tylee, you're unforgettable.
Zuko took a step and hissed.
Agni, that always...
He bit it off.
Well, if it wouldn't hurt if you didn't dodge,
Tylee gasped.
Oh, your face. I didn't know it was.
Yeah, we've all seen it before, Sokka said impatiently. You do know each other. Where's Katara?
With General Hao,
Zuko said impatiently. I hope. Unless she didn't listen to Uncle and did something stupid.
Of course we know each other. She went to school with my sister. You remember my sister, who's not exiled, who wants to kill you and me and Aang and probably half of the Earth Kingdom if she can get away with it?
Steel rang as Zuko drew his blades and turned towards the shouts of guards just a few corridors away. Sokka yelped, tried to disguise it as a manly cough.
Since when do firebenders use swords, oh high and mighty jerkbender?
Since I keep ending up in disasters where I can't bend. Zuko leaned back enough to look Tylee in the eye.
Where is she, Tylee? Where's Azula?
Outside, something exploded.
Forget I asked.
The element of adaptability, indeed, Azula thought, smirking behind her facade of rage as she attacked Katara again, her loyal Dailee holding off the Avatar. Oh, please. Her attacks are right out of the textbooks. Give the ex-general and traitor that much credit. While Iroh had been a loyal soldier under Azulon's command, he'd gone to great lengths to study the remaining bending styles of their enemies. His compiled observations were still useful tactical manuals, so long as you ignored all the cultural musing junk mixed in. On top of that, the little waterbender still fought as if she were facing a smaller, lighter version of Zuko. A firebender with no skill and no perfect economy of form and motion, and a temper as explosive as blasting jelly.
Disgusting.
But oh, so useful. Simply slip a little. Send a few fireballs slightly awry. Allow her to show some of the narrowed eyes and flared nostrils of a firebender in a tooth-grinding rage.
Ah, yes, there was the betraying smirk on the water peasant's face. And yes, now Katara was starting to take the offensive, hurling razor ring waves out of water that clipped hair and a robe's fringe, forcing Azula back. Just where Azula wanted her.
Airbenders are pacifists, little girl. Have you thought about that? Do you know what dagger is drawn at your back and his every time you fight?
No, the waterbender didn't know. She couldn't even guess. She would have crafted her battle strategies against firebenders based on facing Zuko. And the Avatar would have never hesitated to fight Zuko. Master airbenders, the ancient scrolls said, knew truth from lies. And the disgusting truth about Zuko was he never wanted to kill anyone.
Weakling.
A slash of the Avatar's air staff sent Long Feng flying into a wall. Bones snapped. Yes. Sacrificed one tile to win it all. Azula saw the airbender flinch from the injury, gray eyes seeking out the young girl who mothered him. Cool and calculated, Azula stepped into the line of Katara's water whip.
The world slowed. Water arced at her like ribbons of ice. Katara breathed deep, calm as the heartbeat before flashover. The airbender saw oncoming death, death about to be dealt by someone he loved, and leapt into the air to escape reality, turning his back just for an instant. Perfect. Flames blasting her back out of the arc, Azula parted yin and yang and let cold fire fly.
He can't be dead, Sokka gulped as they ran. Toph's moving earth carrying them past guards and Dai Li, too fast for most to do more than try wild strikes. In his mind's eye, he could still see that small, smoking figure fall.
He can't be dead. He can't.
Toph, Zuko said grimly.
Way ahead of you. The earthbender nodded, yanking hands apart to drop them all into a pit tunnel.
And would she mind warning a guy first?
No, not all of them.
Zuko, Toph hissed up at the sky. You're gonna need a distraction.
What? Sokka yelped.
Dai Li don't read the ground, Toph told him. Not as good as me, anyway. If we go underground,
we can get right to them and call Appa, Sokka realized.
Good plan. He glared at her. Except for the part about trusting Zuko to distract crazy blue fire over there.
Oh, she wants to kill me way more than she wants to kill you.
Zuko's smirk had a bitter edge. It'll work.
Oh, yeah, Sokka nodded, glaring up at the opening.
Except for the tiny detail that, gee, you can't bend. He flung his hands up. She'll fry you in under a minute.
Solves all your problems, doesn't it?
The smirk didn't change.
Move fast.
Are you nuts? Sokka demanded. And why was Toph looking like that? Sad and scared and biting her lip. Zuko took a deep breath and let it out. Smirk fading into something that looked sad and determined.
Sokka, your sister wouldn't listen, but if the Avatar dies, my people die, because the next Avatar will be Water Tribe.
Well, yeah, so he'd heard, though he didn't like to think about, oh.
Oh.
The North Pole, Sokka realized. It'd be that all over again. Everybody knows the Fire Nation is evil. They don't know Iroh or Zhang Zhang or that old man who believed me in Gaipan. If the Fire Nation killed Aang, killed the Avatar, there'd be only one way to stop them.
I'd stop them, Sparky, Toph whispered.
I know you'd try, Zuko smiled at her, faint as a ghost.
Tell him I said to look after you, okay? For him.
His face hardened.
Go.
And Toph had Sokka's hand, and the earth moved.
That jerk's gonna die on us,
Sokka breathed, as Toph collapsed the tunnel behind them and burrowed them into the ground like the badger moles who'd taught her.
It doesn't make sense. He hates Aang.
No, he doesn't. Toph sniffled and set her jaw. He told the truth, Sokka, and that's why we're going back for him. She swallowed. After we get Aang.
We're going to... What?
Sokka choked on a mouthful of earth, spit it out, and decided maybe he'd just shut up for a minute.
Toph wanted one jerk of a firebender?
Fine. First they'd get Aang and Katara, then they'd call Appa, and see if Azula had left any pieces to pick up. And maybe somewhere in there, the world would start making sense again.
Some kind of water octopus?
Zuko wondered, seeing translucent tentacles lash at any threatening Dai Li, as Katara hovered protectively over the fallen Avatar.
Don't know that form.
It didn't matter. There was only one form he had to get right. Exactly right. Or nothing would ever matter again. If he could. There was just barely a trickle of chi moving when he breathed. And even what he'd learned from Amaya about lightning injuries might not be enough. Zuko stepped into clear view, sword still drawn, and let his voice carry. Azula! She started, as if surprised, turned toward him with a half-smile, golden eyes calculating.
Zuko, how fitting to find you here in our moment of triumph.
You mean the Fire Lord's moment of triumph. Zuko kept his gaze off battling water and waiting Dai Li. If Uncle was right, nothing he could say would sway those loyal to Azula. But given what Quan had done and Bon, some of them might listen. Maybe. 20 yards. Zuko stopped in settling dust. Close enough, she'll think I'll try to rush her. Far enough, she's sure she can stop me.
Father's triumphs are ours, Zuko. After all, we are his humble servants.
Zuko saw that hint of a cruel smirk and shook his head. That's the only way you could do it, isn't it? The only way you could stand wearing an honorable uniform. You played with Kuei the same way you did cricket mice. He clicked his Dao together, sheathing them. Only instead of legs, you're going to tear off his hopes. He saw agents tense in his peripheral vision, brace himself to move. Azula held up a hand, halting them.
You look tired, brother.
Gold eyes were shadowed with concern.
Life as a fugitive can't have been easy. But your quest is over. We've won. We have the Avatar. Your honor will be restored, and Father will welcome you. You can rest now. You can come home.
Spirits, she knew him so well. He knew she was lying, and he still wanted to believe. Always remember who you are. Time to see if I really can irritate anything. Zuko drew a breath and settled into the deceptively easy stance. Mom loved you. Gold narrowed just for an instant.
Mom's gone, Zuko. We have to obey and please Father now, and he will be pleased.
She asked me to protect you. Azula smiled, humoring him.
That was a little much to ask, given you were exiled on pain of death, if you ventured back into Fire Nation waters. Oh, wait, you did do that, didn't you? And it wasn't for me.
Yes, it was, Zuko said simply, trying to read the tension in cold golden eyes, in the stance that could whip from young noble lady to lethal in a heartbeat. I wanted to protect you from the greatest threat to the Fire Nation and the world. He drew a breath. That's why I have to stop you. Azula stared at him, false concern darkening into cold-blooded hate.
You're defying me.
I know.
You're defying Father.
I know.
Traitor.
Azula breathed, eyes alight with poisonous joy.
I know.
Azula laughed, loud and rich, and spun, crackling arcs of blue, crashing together in a bolt that reached out and struck. He was blind. There was just a wave of power crashing through his chi, drumming in his ears, shoving him across open ground like holding back a hurricane with his bare hands. He held the pattern, breathed the pattern, praying everything he'd learned about lightning was enough to keep his chi intact. Praying Uncle was right, and you only needed a trace of energy moving to guide the lightning away. In, down, up. Oh, damn. If he lived to do this again, he'd have to remember to pick a target first. Agni, please let me not kill anyone. He let go. Lightning crashed, and he savored the utter, absolute shock on his sister's face. Before she faded, and everything faded, and the earth dragged him down. As the sun went out, he could have sworn he heard a breath of fire. Agni, let him live, Iroh prayed, swatting aside the last few days' Dai Li between himself and that two-still form.
It has been 2 years since I last lectured him for something so lethally foolish, and that has obviously been far too long. Although, from a purely tactical perspective, his nephew had been working with limited options. Azula, the Dai Li, and the Avatar all in the same place, that was a recipe for disaster. And not only for the Earth Kingdom. The general in him recognized that. The uncle and adoptive father? 6 years, it has been, since I last tore a strip off of a junior officer. I believe I am looking forward to this. Dark humor, to distract himself from how very still Zuko was. Still and pale, breath shallow, pulse fluttering like moon moth wings, when Iroh felt it. And he was cold. Cold as shock for ordinary souls. Far, far too cold for a firebender. Zuko, no. Rubble stirred and Agent Quan coughed, looking around in dazed shock. Beyond him, Iroh saw Azula wince, fumbling hand touching what was going to be a most unpleasant lump. Not dead, Iroh sighed, almost tempted to smile. However bittersweet. So Li is born of water, after all. Li might be, but he was not. I suggest you move, Agent Quan, Iroh said levelly. I only seek to deal one death today. Forgive me, Ursa. I must. The Dai Li paled, but held firm. She is Long Feng's ally, Quan said hoarsely. I'm sorry, General. No. Iroh inclined his head in deep respect. I pray Long Feng knows how deeply he is honored to have such loyal men. He breathed in. The earth collapsed under him. Iroh gripped tightly to Zuko as a sideways landslide dragged them through the darkness. He kept himself from panicking, breathing slow and even. If the earthbender decided to trap them underground, his own breath might be the only air they had. Earth lifted them back into sunlight, inside a raised wall of trembling stone Toph held with outstretched hands. Got you, she crowed. You've got to be kidding, Katara sputtered, cradling a small form on Appa's back. Believe me, she's not kidding, Sokka griped, helping Iroh manhandle Zuko up onto cream and brown fur. We can drop them off later, okay? Toph, come on. Grinning, Toph bounced herself up on a pillar of stone and swarmed across fur to nestle beside his nephew. Yip, yip! Back! Sokka clung for dear life as the bison took off, not quite in position on the massive neck. Toph! You snooze, you lose, Snoozles! Toph's smirk faded as she gripped Zuko's hand. He's cold. He's not supposed to be. He redirected lightning, Iroh said quietly as they flew past startled guards on the outer wall, taking off his own outer robe. He wrapped it around the singed prince. Stay with him. Help me keep him warm. He looked up, about to ask how Aang was. Lethal as Azula's strikes usually were, he did not think one of the water tribe would carry away a corpse. He is not breathing. Katara bit her lip and unstoppered a vial. Glowing blue water circled above her hand before sinking into the Avatar's wounds. Spirit water. Iroh didn't dare move. Aang needed more than healing, and there was no other chance. The airbender coughed and blinked at Katara, smiled faintly, before sagging back into unconsciousness in her arms. Thank you, Yue, Iroh prayed, sincerely grateful. Thank you, brave lady. It had been a desperate gambit indeed, but somehow his nephew had won. And now it is my turn to fight, Iroh knew, summoning healing flame, sinking heat into chill flesh and a tattered spirit. Hold on, nephew, hold on. There wasn't much fuel on a bison's back as they soared through the day into afternoon,
Iroh drew small bits of flame from coal shards in Zuko's firepot. Knowing from his own experience, his nephew needed a steady fire far more than an intense one. Still, it wasn't enough.
I would not object to our being set down somewhere, Iroh said mildly.
Anywhere, so long as there is shelter and something I can burn.
How about we just throw you off? Katara snarled, pulling water from her water skin to try and heal more of Aang's burns. But water wavered around her hands, and the glow of healing was faint.
The cold-blooded fire rages through the body's chi like an inferno, Iroh said soberly.
It is not easily healed. You have fought quite a battle. A healer must know when to rest or risk harming her patient further.
I would never hurt Aang. She glared at them both, obviously weighing the merits of smacking them off the bison's back with a whip of water.
Sokka, take Appa down so we can...
They're not leaving. Toph gripped Fur and his nephew equally tightly.
They helped us out. We helped them out, right? Like the ghost town.
No, this is different. Still holding the reins, Sokka turned towards them, face grim.
This time, you've got something we need.
Ah, unfortunate that.
I have only the very basics of fire healing, Iroh said plainly. I can mend bruises, little more. I will be no help to you.
But you do know lightning. Blue eyes held his, determined. You said you wanted to bring balance back. Aang needs everything you can tell us.
Intelligent young man, which narrowed his options for getting Zuko away from the Avatar considerably.
Guys, Toph started. I can heal him, Sokka, Katara said, voice hard. I don't need their help.
Guys!
Katara, I believe you. I do. But I never even saw lightning until we got to Kyoshi Island. You think Yugoda ever did?
Sokka shook his head.
I'm not risking Aang's life when we've got someone who knows right here.
Hey, idiots! Toph yelled. Either you let them off or I try bending Earth I can't see to make us land.
She took a deep breath and swallowed.
Zuko's cold.
Katara snorted.
Oh, please. Like the firebender is going to catch a...
My nephew is ill. Iroh said bluntly.
Very ill. Please, set us down.
He's what? He was fine, just... Sokka narrowed his eyes, looking them over.
You're keeping him warm.
Truth had worked with Toph. Not with Katara, but her brother seemed more willing to listen rather than judge.
It is the only chance he has.
Uncle? For once, Toph's voice didn't sound strong.
You sound like Sparky's going to...
He has a chance, Iroh said quietly.
But I need wood, coal, something that will burn.
I thought fire was the superior element, Katara sniped.
Because you don't need anything but yourself.
To heal, we do, Iroh said simply. Just as water draws from you to heal, so fire draws from us. There is not enough chi to both create the fire and heal with it.
Fine.
Sokka turned back to steer Appa again, towards a sky-piercing forest, and raised his boomerang.
Get ready to catch.
Green pine branches were not the best of fuel, but they would do. He could keep Zuko warm, keep him alive. Yet now they were over the waters of Chameleon Bay, and there was no reasonable chance of escape. Coal smoke. He could taste it.
I don't believe it!
Sokka's yell made the words a curse as he stared down at the supply ship steaming through the salt water.
How'd they get around the stinking sinks?
By paying attention, Iroh thought dryly, peering at the crew suddenly animated on the deck below. The distance was great, but there was something familiar about...
A familiar gray head turned up towards them, spyglass in hand. not panicked, despite what must be widespread knowledge that the Sky Bison meant the Avatar's presence. Not panicked. But the trebuchets were being brought online, and the ship itself was being trimmed to flee. Standing on a furry back, Iroh set the sky ablaze with fire.